Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 52. And this week's guest we have Mark. Mark started the show with me before Andrew started, and Mark has come back to celebrate our one-year anniversary for show 52. We talk about Hawaii, his infrared photography, and some of his cameras. Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show 52. Andrew?
Yay!
Yay! We're the same age. The show is the same age as Andrew.
No, it's not. That'll be next week.
Oh, right, okay.
Happy birthday to us.
Yay!
Happy birthday to us. Cue the sound effects.
Yep.
Happy birthday, dear Lensless Podcast.
You're
happy
one.
Birthday to you. I remember when my daughter was one, and she had this big sponge cake and just stuffed it in her face, and her face was covered with sponge cake. And I can still remember it. So there we are. It's one. I hope you find some suitable sound effects to put into the show afterwards. So if you're listening to this, you may have already heard them. If you don't hear any suitable sound effects, that's because Corey couldn't find them.
That's because I couldn't find them. Or I found them and couldn't figure out how to work them.
How you doing,
but
anyway?
I'm good, but through the magic of Anchor, we've managed to get all 52 guests back on at the same time. Actually, we didn't. We got Mark, who was with me in the very beginning of the show. Andrew brought it up and just said, hey, we should think it'd be proper to have Mark come back and talk with us.
Absolutely.
I'm good. I'm good, Matt. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing really well. I had a great day yesterday, and I went to the Mega Analog Meetup at the NEC in Birmingham. And there was that was organized by Hamish Gill and the Sunny 16 guys.
Mm-hmm.
So there was maybe 30 of us. And we met all sorts of awesome people. So the Intrepid guys, we spoke to them at length. Steve from Chroma Cameras, the brand new acrylic 4x5 camera, which when you say it's made of acrylic, you think it's kind
plasticky.
Of rubber. Yeah, but it's really not. It's really substantial. I was really impressed with the Chroma camera, and I was really impressed with the new versions of the Intrepid. Who else did we go and see? We saw we saw Rachel Brewster doing her at Cyanotypes, and we saw Sam Cornwall with his solar can. So I now have two solar cans. So it's like a beer can with paper inside it. And when you've had it outside for 6 months or whatever, you can bring it in, use your tin opener, and open that up. So that's really exciting.
Mark?
And we just had a great day. And hello, Mark.
Aloha. Good morning, good
Aloha.
Afternoon, and soon to be good night.
Yeah. So everybody listening, Mark was in North Carolina a year ago when we started to show up, and he hung up for a little while, and then far better opportunity called him back to Hawaii. So he's been there for a while. But Mark was originally with us at the beginning of the show, for those who haven't gone all the way back to the beginning and listened from the
He was your first. He was your first podcast wife, wasn't he?
He was, and he was an awesome podcast wife too.
No, don't make me too jealous. He does have a very sexy, deep voice. I'll have to say that. He's like the Ted Vieira of the lensless world.
You are. Say something, Mark.
I don't know. I've always been told I give good phone.
Hey, Mark. Say, hey, man.
Hey, man.
There you go. Who needs Ted Vieira?
Right. So, Mark, you've been, I know before you left North Carolina, you were getting into doing some infrared stuff, but you've since done a lot of infrared in Hawaii. How
how's Hawaii and infrared and pinhole?
Well, I guess it's a little easier because we're kind of perpetually green. Right. I was concerned at first. I heard a lot of the tropical plants, they're not as receptive to the IR, but with the Roli, it just seems to pop.
Yeah, definitely.
The one you posted on Flickr fairly recently is just snowy.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So much green, yeah.
I'm jealous.
So that you shot that with a Holger,
yes.
Combination and some Roli infrared and the deep IR filter,
yes.
Didn't you?
Yeah, an R72.
We've touched on infrared in pinholes before. Well, this isn't a pinhole, is it? But we've touched on infrared in before. What's your workflow, Mark? How do you approach this often difficult to understand medium?
How do I approach it?
What's your workflow?
That's a great question because I've never been asked.
Really?
What do you mean by workflow exactly?
Well, how do you use the film? How do you meter it? How do you develop it?
I still actually use the Pinhole Assist app. Because you can find your apertures in there. Like, so Holga, people say that the Sunny is F11 or F13. Mm-hmm. I think I stick with the F13, and then I use the, was it the 8.7 filter?
Mm-hmm.
And then the just 400, because the Roli has such a flexible reciprocity. So for here, I'm getting something like just 1 second exposures.
That's pretty much what I always, that's what I would get here with it here too. But that would be in like the height of summer, you know?
Yeah.
But you're using it in your pinhole camera, Corey, aren't you?
Well, I've shot it in my Holga also. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be doing it more in some pinhole again. I was just kind of playing around with the Holga, and I was really surprised by the results.
Yeah. Yeah. They look great. I'm jealous. I'm like, wow.
Mark, I picked yesterday at the photography show, I picked up two rolls of short-dated Ilford SFX, which is not really a full, IR film, is it? But it's got some extended red sensitivity,
yes.
And I think if you use the that 72 filter, you can get some reasonable effects. Have you used the Ilford film?
I did. I've tried it twice, and that was real winging it. And I felt that the film kind of broke on me. The grain became intense, and I struggled with it. But I do want to try it again.
Yeah,
I've seen some good results.
Yeah,
and let's face it, we don't have much choice, do we?
And,
really?
And some people said that you can really play around with HP5. It has a little bit of sensitivity too.
Oh, really?
And I tried it once and had it, you know, maybe two or three shots came out, but it was much better than my SFX.
The one that does look good with a normal red filter is Roli Retro 400S. That certainly has an extended red sensitivity. You can shoot that with or without a red filter, but with a red filter, you get you begin to touch into that infrared spectrum. Mm. I forget the wavelength, but it certainly does.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, you know, that's fairly cheap for us over here. I can buy 100 feet of 35 mil, that is, clearly, Roli Retro 400S for £40, which...
Oh, wow.
What's that? That's 50 odd dollars, 60 maybe. I don't know what the exchange rate is. The pound is worth nothing now. It's nearly worth $1.
All right.
Time to visit the UK.
Yeah. Oh, come now, because as we're about to leave the European Union, the country's on its knees.
Right.
Yeah. So how did you... did you live in Hawaii originally, Mark, and have gone back there? Or what's,
yes.
What's the story?
Yeah.
Were you born there?
No. I was a military kid, so I came here in 1990 and stayed for 25 years.
Wow.
And then we had an opportunity in North Carolina to try something different, and so we were there for 3 years.
I don't see why you would pass up North Carolina for Hawaii, though.
No.
Yeah. So a lot of people in North Carolina looked at us like we were crazy because we left Hawaii.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Have you ran into Jana yet?
No, she was here during Christmas. We were supposed to get together, but not sure what happened. It didn't happen.
Yeah, sometimes it does.
And the other famous Hawaii or Honolulu, that's Hawaii, isn't it? Is that Ross Togashi, isn't it?
Togashi.
Yeah. So I don't hear from him much. I think he's been a bit poorly, but I did reach out to him in the early days when I first joined the Lensless podcast, and he said he'd consider coming on the show at some point, but I think he was recovering from something.
Yeah. I know I'm going to, I'm excited for the Worldwide Pinhole Photography Day this year, because I get to meet, Jana and Todd, and a bunch of people.
Do you know who's going on that yet? Have they shared a sort of list of folks who are registered, or do you know?
Yeah, there's a Facebook page. I know.
I think Jana, I'm probably a member of it, actually.
Jana and Todd, and there's a bunch of people. I haven't gone completely through it, but I'm going to fly up. I was going to drive, but I looked at the price of tickets, and a ticket for me from here to Boston is really cheap, and it's only about a 2-hour flight. It's actually less money to fly than it is for me to spend in gas to drive up there. I can get up there in 2 hours. So,
well, now that would seem hours. As you've mentioned Boston. So, you folks listening, on April the 28th, which is a Sunday, it's Worldwide Pinhole Day. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of guys, as we've spoken about this before, who organize what's called a transatlantic get together or GIT together, GIT. And you can, if you hook up with Alex Yates or Jana or Todd, one of those guys, they'll point you in the right direction for registering. Mm-hmm. If you can't afford, UK listeners, if you can't afford to go to America, don't worry. There's an alternative. you can join currently myself, Neil Piper, Wendy Chapman, and Jimmy Hickford. And who wouldn't want to come and meet us?
Yeah,
you
right.
can come and join us on April the 28th in Boston, Lincolnshire.
Fake Boston.
The real Boston. We can't guarantee nice weather. We can guarantee a warm welcome. It'll be great.
Aww.
And you can join up to the proper Boston Worldwide Pinhole Meet by going to that awesome website called photowalk.me, and sign up.
And Andrew will be giving out free hugs.
I wondered what you're going to say then. I thought you were going to say free film.
Yeah, he'll be giving out all of his free film courtesy of Lindsay's podcast.
You better send some over then.
Yeah, I'll try.
So, Mark, if you go back in time, we could do that wobbly music. Go back in time. I'm not sure Corey really grilled you as to how you got into analog photography. So why don't you, for folks who don't just know you as Three-Eyed Monster online and the fantastic IR stuff you do and the wonderful pinholes, making full use of the wide angle, why don't you just tell folks, spend a little bit of time just telling folks about your background and how you got into pinhole photography, and that's sort of, you know, the vibe.
Yeah. Let's see, photography in general, I kind of bounced around with it. I would always get my uncle's secondhand cameras because he just collected them. And he was the famous family photographer with a finger in every shot. So I would get his secondhand, but then I kind of didn't touch a camera for decades. And around 2009, my father had an old AE-1, Canon AE-1.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that out and played with it. It had a light leak, but I didn't care. And I shot that for a while and started buying those Lomography cameras because that was you know, what was popular online. I started to get on Flickr, and I really started to get to a point where I felt like I'd taken a picture of everything. And this was only like a year, and I was like, oh, what do I do now? So I'm searching Flickr, and I'm looking for places in Honolulu to take pictures. And there's these amazing pictures by this Ross Togashi, and he's taking these wonderful, you know, semi-clear, semi-blurry images. And I started to look at more of his stuff, and I reached out to him and I said, how are you doing this? And, you know, he's just, it's a pinhole camera. And he kind of explains a little bit to me back and forth through Flickr. And so I bought myself a Holga 120 PC, and I started to play with it. And I would get angry and frustrated, but I really wanted to get what he got, you know? And so he gave me some more tips. And basically that just, you know, once I got that first shot and that came out how I wanted, and Ross goes, that's it. I was hooked.
Cool. That's pretty cool.
So you got approval from the master. I was following Ross for years. Well, I still follow Ross for years, and like you, blown away by his images. I think it was a combination of the location and the kind of weirdness, almost surreal images they turned out to be, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I can see some, I can certainly see some of his influences in your pinhole work, Mark. I was looking back through your Flickr stream, and now I've lost it. There was a bucket. I think there was a bucket and maybe a blurry young child, which may or may not be your child, or you may have just kidnapped a child and said, stand here.
No, that's mine.
Oh, it's not a bucket. It's a yellow...
It's a sandcastle building thing.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, so that screams kind of Ross, and there was one of a, there was a bottle somewhere I saw a minute ago, and that's and it's just fantastic. And I've just seen a Route 66 one. So that's Ross's is excellent. If you and if you want to check out Ross's site, and you folks, you,
Flickr,
should just,
right?
You should do that. Yeah, it's on Flickr. Yeah,
yeah, he's exclusively on Flickr, I think.
Yeah. Cool. And but you've gone from the illustrious Holga pinhole wide to a I think every picture I click on, you're using a different camera. I'm sure you're not really, but
no,
you
see,
you seem to have, you seem to have more than I do. So.
Yes, I'm guilty.
What have you got?
I've got, I think right now I've got about 15. I did kind of clean house when I left North Carolina. I actually shed about a half dozen or more cameras. So,
well, you just put them in the trash can, or do you give them to
somebody? Yeah, I would have loved to have given them to somebody. I think I did ship a couple to a few people here and there. I think, some people from Instagram. I got rid of some, but I collect them. Each one is, you know, they have a different personality, and so sometimes I want that narrow pinhole, or other times the wide or the curved, you know. Right. So
I have a few. I've tried to do that, but I just keep going back to the ultra wide stuff, you know, like that just is, it's just where I'm at with it.
I was the Reality 6x6F, I was out with it a couple of weekends ago. I maybe spoke about this last week, but I've since developed the film. And I was walking around and I saw this dog bowl, you know, a bowl with the word dog on it, D-O-G, if any confusion. Yeah. And I sat my Reality camera down, and I swear this camera was touching, because I know you've got to get close, was touching the edge of this dog bowl. And the negative, you can still see the ground. It's just insane.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at your... There's a picture of a flat iron, you know, one of those oldie worldy ones that you probably have to heat up to iron your clothes.
Yeah, that's an Asheville.
And I'm guessing you were really close there, but you can still see bits of, you know, sidewalk, can't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really close.
So, folks, if you've got the Reality So Subtle camera and you think you're close, get closer. That's what you should put. You should put that if you're going to do. If we're going to do T-shirts or stickers. And that's, we should perhaps come up with some slogans a bit like that. If you think you're close, get closer.
I have one that I made with a picture of I think it was Astro Beck. She had a picture of a dead woodpecker laying in the woods, you know?
Yeah, well, I shared my picture of a dead pigeon, didn't I? And that's why she then shared her woodpecker with his legs up in the air.
And I took and I wrote, you know, the Lenses podcast above the woodpecker, and underneath of it in parentheses I wrote, better than a dead woodpecker. So
yeah, that would make a kind of surreal, interesting t-shirt.
It's coming. Lensless podcast swag is coming. So
we're going to work something out, aren't we?
Won't be long. Definitely.
So you're shooting with Vermeer's wide cameras. I think you're shooting with Holger's. You're shooting with Realities. Is that right? What? How many Vermeer cameras do you have, Mark?
Well, I had a 6x6 about 5 years ago, but now I just have a 6x12 Vermeer. I've got the Holga. I've got three Realities, so Subtles, some Ondu, some Zeros. Let's see what else.
Are they all roll film or are you?
Yes,
four, five.
No, nothing 4x5.
I've been trying.
Yeah, I've got a pinhole printed. Oh, and some of Todd's cameras. Those are fun too.
Yeah, I like. I only have one of Todd's cameras. I'd quite like his 6x9 at some point. But my my projects now are to start making a few more. And that's I'm gradually amassing containers and various materials. So I'm going to be and paper. I bought some direct positive paper yesterday. So I'm going to play with that.
You rebel.
Well, I'm going to have time on my hands. You know that.
Yep. Once you get that neck tattoo design, you're going to be needing to be doing it.
I'll be hitting up on Mark to give me infrared tips again because I'd have forgotten what he told me. That pinhole wide camera that I resisted for so long is going to have some infrared film in it. So lots of fun ahead, and I'm going to make some stuff. I've got a nice tin. I've got a few nice tins. In fact, I got another box today, which is 4x5-ish size, and it's got a depth of about 3 inches or so. So I reckon I can, or maybe 4 inches, I reckon I could do something with that. I was looking at that Harman Obscura single-shot camera yesterday on the Ilford stand, and I was very tempted, but Alex Purcell was next to me, and he shamed me into not buying it. He says,
"Good job, Alex."
He says, "Boyo." He says, because he's Welsh, you know. He said, "Boyo, you can make one of those." He said it just like that, because he's Welsh. He said, "You can make one of those with foam core."
Foam core board, yeah.
Yeah. So that's another retirement project.
Yeah.
So, I want to do those single shot things. And I thought, well, he's right, because it's a slidey box in a slidey box, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So, Mark, you I know right before you left... and we were talking, you had, and I had also kind of fallen into a little bit of a, pinhole slump, if whatnot, being in small towns, you know, and you've pinholed everything twice. It seems like Hawaii has it kind of kicked up for you a little bit as far as like wanting to get it out? I know it's new, so you can definitely do it, but I mean, I'm looking at these pictures that you have up on your Flickr. And you have this picture of Makapu, the landscape.
Yeah.
Man, that's great. I'm sure you are happy to be in a little more diverse environment. But are you planning on getting out and doing some more of these sweeping landscape panoramas, you know, black and whites?
I am. At first it was exciting to be, you know, back and on the island and, you know, I started taking pictures, and then really quickly I felt like, well, I'm taking pictures that I took 5 years ago, you know, and that it kind of set a panic set in, you know, like, okay, what am I going to shoot? But then I think about it, you know, I've changed, my skill level has changed. And so maybe it is okay to retake those pictures because I'm seeing new things. My pictures might be a little bit better, you know, I might add something to that. And so, you know, I'm kind of taking that approach. And as Andrew kind of mentioned, in a way, I'm not trying to steal, but maybe kind of perpetuate some of the stuff that Ross did with his little beach flotsam,
right,
and stuff, until he comes back, kind of deal. It keeps me out. It keeps me active.
I think I've said before, you know, photography in your backyard is a fantastic thing. If you can overcome that sort of, I've photographed everything twice. And I have, you know, I've in fact many more times than that. And I was going to say to you, Mark, that it's okay because you can go back to the same spot and the weather will be different. But I guess it's not in Hawaii, is it? It's always sunny.
Yeah,
it seems that way.
Is it always sunny or does it do anything else than sunshine?
No, we have where sometimes it'll rain for 3 weeks.
There you go. So you can go and put your pin. You can go out in the rain, can't you, with your pinhole camera? There's some. You've got so many that some of them are better. Will fare better for pinhole in the rain.
Oh yeah, definitely. But yeah, it's, you know, some of the stuff I look back, like you said, on Flickr is a great way to go back and look at your stuff, and you could say, oh wow, well, you know, I was doing it this way, and I could see, I think I could do that picture better or take a different approach.
Flickr's great. Yeah. You and I, Mark, are great fans of Flickr. And when they put up their prices recently, because I was a pro, I gave them some money anyway, a pro subscriber, which was about $20, I think. And they sort of doubled it. And my first instinct was to be quite cross and throw my toys out of the pram. But I've now, as the deadline got closer, I signed up because I've got, you know, it's my main archive, and I still enjoy going on there, and I still enjoy looking at you know, your work and other folks. And there's a lot of people still posting. Okay, the group discussion things are not as active as they were, but you know, there's a few little chit chats going on in the Lensless Podcast Flickr group. Yeah, and I think, you know, it's the one place where I share. You know, work, and you can look at it in a really good size as well. You know, it's not. I know you can do things other than square in Instagram, but I've never really mastered that. And Instagram is very popular, but I still enjoy sitting back with a cup of tea on my fairly big monitor and looking at the work. And when you just click someone's picture and it fills up your screen, I've got a 60-centimeter, 2 foot wide screen, and it's the images just look great. You know, it's next to having a print in your hand.
Or the panoramics are just wonderful for Flickr. Instagram, they get chopped and
pushed. Well, you can do it, but I'm not clever enough to work it out.
I'm getting tired of Instagram. I like Instagram because you can find so many people and see so much stuff, but I'm thinking about just kind of using my Instagram page is just more for the show, and I'm thinking more about doing the Flickr thing too.
Or WordPress. Yeah. See, I have a blog, a WordPress site, and I don't upload there every week. It's mainly sometimes it goes in fits and starts, you know. But I'm working on a series of prints at the moment. They're not lensless ones. They're lith prints taken in a French cemetery, and when I've got 8 or 9 of those, I'm going to scan them and do a little blog post, write about them, you know, and that's a great way to, you know, to share your work as well.
Yeah, cool.
In a fairly coherent fashion.
Mark, this picture that you took of, did you catch this little baby brontosaurus in the wild, or?
Oh, I was looking at that. that's just above on your Flickr site. The little brontosaurus is just above one of your bicycle pictures, which I think are great. We'll talk about your bicycle pictures in a minute, but your dinosaur picture, you don't want to get too close to that bad boy. It would have, mind you, I think a brontosaurus is a vegetable eater, so you'd have probably been okay.
You know, well, we filmed Jurassic Park here, you know, got steady flow of dinosaurs.
A brontosaurus and a Graham Jago, that's what they have in common. They're both plant eaters, right?
Yeah.
So that was your 3D printed Terrapin Ace 645 pinhole camera. So does that take 645 images, does it, presumably?
Yes. Yes,
and Ilford Delta, is that a regular use film for you, Ilford Delta?
I do. It's a little expensive for mm-hmm. me, but I do like the film a lot.
So with,
and lately I've been shooting Kodak T-Max. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people aren't necessarily fans, but I'm enjoying.
Yeah. I shot some. Somebody sent me some T-Max. I think it might have been Diane Peterson. May have been. If it wasn't you, Diane, I'm thanking you anyway, and I apologize to the person who really sent it to me. T-Max. I shot some T-Max 100 last summer, and I don't talk about it because it's the stuff I used that when I followed Corey's advice and put that yellow filter inside my Zero camera. But I'll give it another go at some point.
So with this, with the Terrapin Ace, Mark, it's shooting in the 6.45 format. If you're mm-hmm. holding the camera horizontally, then you're shooting a vertical. So you always have to turn the camera vertical to get a horizontal shot, right?
Yeah. I actually contacted Todd about the, I had wanted a 6.45 that kind of shoots more in the landscape. Mm-hmm. And he kind of came up with the design and got back to me. And he sent me out, I had one and it had terrible light leaks. I couldn't figure out where the light leak was coming from. And it was due to the, in the camera's normal position, because so 6.45 tends to shoot mm-hmm. portrait,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
When you flipped it over, the light was coming in through the
tripod nut?
The tripod mount, yes. And we couldn't seal it for the life of me. And so
Blue Tech.
Then... There you go.
That's what I said too, whenever he says Blue Tech, Mark.
No, I know what Blue Tech is, but I didn't think of that solution. And since then, the camera has been taken apart for parts. But then Todd had been working on that Ace camera, so he kind of modified it a little bit and I guess came up with a better mounting
right.
thickness. And so now the camera works. Or, he sent me that one.
Cool.
And
I think great. For folks listening, if you'd have maybe listened to, we had Todd on the show last year, but he 3D prints cameras and he makes his plans available if you have your own 3D printer. But I think as Mark was alluding to there, if you've got a specific request, he'll have a go for you, won't he?
I'm still waiting. I keep bugging him to make me an 8x10 box turtle.
Well, you maybe need Todd. Come on. What are you doing? Stop putting fires out and saving people's lives and make Corey an 8x10 box turtle.
He's a great guy though, that guy.
I just looked at one.
I'm excited to meet him. Finally.
Yeah, he's a lovely man. Yeah, I think there's less of him when I met him because all he does now is cycle up mountains, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's this 6x18. You've got a 6x18 panoramic picture. You maybe got more 3D printed clipper, is that right?
Yeah, it's there's a gentleman Pinhole Printed.
Okay.
I can't remember his name right now, but he came up with some designs for a 6x6 and a 6x18. And then he came out with a mask that would go inside the 6x18 so you can break it down to 6x9.
Yeah, I've just seemed to have clicked onto I'm not sure it's an album or a Flickr site. It's called Pinhole Printed with 18 Pictures. I'm not sure that's yours or it's trouble. I've clicked on something and I don't know how I've got to it. But it's in Flickr. And that's an awesome wide. I mean, I shoot some 6x17, not pinhole, but, on large format. I think it must mm-hmm. be yours. Yeah, it is your site. Must have an album, Mark, called Pinhole Printed with mm-hmm. with... 18 pictures in. And is that all the same camera but with different masks? Because they're not all the big wide ones.
Yeah, no, that's the one with there's like I said, there's 6x18 and then he has the 6x9 mask that folds into it and then covers
you,
up.
Well, you seem to have a 6x6 as well because you've got a pinhole printed 6x6 flyer.
Yeah, I did. And then that was one of the ones that went to another home when I left North Carolina.
And I like that because you did it. You should have sent it to me because that looks great.
Don't send anything then.
I was stuck at home, so I moved a toy. It's a little Lego. I think it's like a, not Lego, it's something like a little Lego toy. And you moved them around and you're using Ektar. And I just love Ektar. I love using Ektar in the summer in Todd's Terrapin cameras. That's my color camera. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ektar's awesome. Great. What's your favorite film, Mark, to go pinholing with? If you just had to use one film, I shan't limit you.
Here
we
go.
I shan't limit you to one film and one camera because that would be really cruel.
Yeah.
But if I had to go, if I had to come to your house and steal all your film stock, apart from one stock, what would you? If you had to live with one in Hawaii.
Oof. I guess I'd go with Ektar. Mm.
Oh, interesting.
Over all black and white stock, because it's—I mean—you shoot a lot of color, don't you? I have to say so.
Yeah.
I like Ektar. I'm glad I don't like Fujifilm because that's going up in price a lot.
It was. I did have like the it's the Velvia 100. I really like that, but that's too hard on the.
I shot some. No, I shot the Velvia 50, I think, last summer, and I want to process it as E6, but it's still sitting in my darkroom because I'm just waiting to get enough slide film to go and buy my own kit because I'm too tight to pay a lab to do it for me.
How are you coming along with your home development, Mark?
Was that something you were trying to get into?
I've been trying to get into it forever.
Yeah. Why don't you home develop, Mark? Yeah. Why don't you home develop?
Chemical disposal.
Okay. Can't you just put it in the sea?
Oh my goodness! No, I'm too much of an environmentalist.
No. I do understand. Yeah. What about caffeinols?
There you go.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
But even then, you must be picking up some. You got to fix it, haven't you? So the fixer becomes a problem because you're picking up metallic silver.
Well, Treehouse Photography have a dark room, like a community dark room? There's no community dark rooms in Hawaii anywhere.
No.
Really?
Wow. None. Treehouse offers courses to do your own developing, right. And you know they like every 2 months they have a class you can sign up for, which is great. But I'm greatly worried about chemical disposal, and in Hawaii, all the places are really small, and having the whole complete blackout kind of opportunity is not really a thing.
What about who is it? Mike Caputo. Big Mike. Yeah. He's Hawaii based, isn't he? Does he have some involvement in it? He's a darkroom.
He is. He's on Hawaii Island, what we call the Big Island. So he's over 500 miles away from me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my Hawaii geography has let me down, I'm afraid. It's a bit like so if I have a friend in Scotland, he's probably he could be 500 miles away. Yeah, you're not going to be seeing him every day, are you?
No.
So
you should ask him what he's doing, though. How's he handling his disposal?
I don't know how that... But we have, collection sites. I've been starting to learn about that.
Good.
Where it's like every quarter or something, you can take your chemicals in and pass them over.
I think we have to. It's like a hazardous waste collection where you can bring like pesticides and paint and unused gasoline or whatever, you know, stuff that you don't want to dump in
there are some developers that are more friendly, aren't there? There's the ascorbic acid or vitamin C based developers.
The EcoPro is the stuff that John uses.
Silver recovery. There are people who will recover silver from waste materials, but if you're just a one-off person at home, I don't know how that works, you know, as opposed to industrial
people.
Because you can recover the silver from fixer.
I can't,
but clever people can, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I got a camera. I posted a picture about I got a butter bag.
Nobody's interested. Curry. Nobody's interested. You put these things on and look what I got.
Nobody. Look, I say very rarely me. Do it too, and you know.
No, you did. You did pique a bit of interest. Somebody said, "Ooh, what's that?" And I quickly jumped in and said, "Don't ask him. No one's interested.
Nobody's interested. Nobody likes me.
Go on then. What?
I don't even know why I'm here. Mark, let's just me and you continue on with the show, and we're just going to forget about it.
True. Put him on mute. No.
I don't know. Ethan from Camera Doctor just reached out to me and said, "Hey, if I send you a camera, will you try it?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." So he sent me a.
I've always wanted to be that famous.
No, believe me, it's not.
What is it now? Ondu, butter cameras.
Guys, I'm not even. I need.
We pay the perks. To,
and he never even used the Ondu camera.
I need to find a home for the Ondu. Yeah, so I'm gonna put it out again. If anybody's interested in giving a 5x7 Ondu a home, let me know because I have one. And I'm gonna shoot with the camera that Ethan sent me. I don't even.
So what's he sent you? Come on, you still haven't explained what it was.
It's a little. It's a 35mm pinhole camera that comes. It's wooden, you know, cut out, laser cut out. It's all wooden. You have to put it together, you know.
I've seen those.
So I'm gonna put it together and shoot with it some. And I want to do it with. I'm going to put direct positive paper in it. Though I'm going to try with the direct positive paper. Thanks to Tony. Tony Hertz has got me into doing it again, so I'm gonna try it with that. Then I think I'm gonna send it to Tony when I finish with it, and let him shoot with it. Some.
That's a good idea because if Ethan, it is Ethan, isn't it, from Camera Dactyl? If Ethan has sent it to you to test out, then pay it forward, give it to someone, and say to Tony, "Hey, you know, when you're finished, different people." What results different people can get with it.
And check it out. So that was what the boat bag was. And Ethan is a really nice guy because he posted some pictures of the 3D printed film box holders, identifiers for the camera generator. And I saw those and I was like, "Oh," I was like, "Man, I'm gonna get buy a couple of these for me." And he was nice enough. He sent me a few of those with the camera too. So thank you, Ethan. I will enjoy them.
And thank you, Ethan.
Completely, they would keep me unconfused. So I appreciate it about what's in my camera.
Yeah, you're moving away from masking tape.
I like my blue tape. It works really good. But I haven't even really shot with 120 in a while. I've been on the 4x5 kick, you know. Yeah.
What's holding you back from 4x5, Mark?
Developing, scanning, printing.
Yeah. Oh, well. Nothing major, then.
Yeah, another.
No.
It's yet another expense, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. But on the same token, on the same page, if you're already home developing, getting to where you can home develop 4x5, isn't really that much more of a stretch. Some trays. If you got like the SP445, you could, pretty easy. So 8x10 is 16x20 is where it really gets kind of starts to get a little dicey.
Well, that's a subject for the large format photography.
Speaking
podcast.
Of 16x20, Andrew, what's
That's large format.
Yeah, that is. Is that ultra large format? I think so.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We put out the first episode of the large format photography podcast, Simon Forster and I. When Simon talks about it on the Classic Lenses podcast, you can hear his two American colleagues. They're just kind of sighing and switching off. So I'll just get it out there quickly. So we put the first episode out and Simon came up with a list of questions. Because he's like, I described him as the enthusiastic young puppy who's trying to give his aunt Flo's leg a quick shag. And I'm like the senile old uncle Bulgaria. You won't know who that is. He's a womble. And so I don't claim to know everything. Really, I don't. And I just know maybe a bit more than Simon. So he said, "Well, what's the definition of large format?" And that's a really good question because you know, I think we just decided on maybe 5x4 and or 4x5 and above, but then we said, well, is it just if it's sheet film, but then you get smaller formats and sheet film?
Right.
But then when does ultra-large format kick in? I think that must be above 8x10, mustn't it, I think?
That's what I would say, 11x14, 16x20. Mm. If you're ordering Ilford direct positive paper on a 50-foot roll, then you're probably in the ultra-large format, you know?
That would be fun, wouldn't it, to design a...
Yeah,
so maybe Heather Oakless should use some of that. Yeah. I can't remember whether she did. I know she uses all separate pieces of paper in her Little Miss Sunshine van.
I wanted
we should get Heather back on for an update on what she's been doing.
I wanted to make a 6 or 7 foot tall pinhole camera that would be, you know, maybe the width of that paper, which I think is about 3 feet. So maybe you could do like full body pinhole portraits of people, you know. That'd be fun.
I think you should make it look like an old west coffin.
Yeah, exactly. Just like a standing up coffin, yeah. And see what happens, but that would be expensive if it didn't work. I don't think my wife would be too happy with me about that one.
Yeah.
What's the latest pinhole camera that you've been getting to grips with, Mark? Have you had a new one recently?
That would be the Vermeer.
The 6x12?
12, yeah. That's been the latest.
That's a curved back, isn't it? His design?
No, it's not. It's a flat
back.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because I'm very taken with his anamorphic cameras. That's I'd like a 6x12. One of his nice 6x12 anamorphic. He seems to advertise his 6x17 quite a lot. I'd like a 6x12. But Cesare, if you're listening, I'd love a 6x12 anamorphic camera.
just send it on over.
I'd like to try one too, but it's a little above my disposable income.
Yeah, I know.
Limit.
Yeah.
This picture you shot with the swing at 6x12, right? You shot of the coastal scene with the trees and the swing.
Oh, the silhouette.
That's a beautiful picture. That's a great shot, Mark. I like that one. Yeah, you came up there.
Yeah, that's the 6x12.
That's the silhouette you're talking about, isn't it?
My goodness, Andrew. Brilliant. You think you can get those kind of results, Andrew?
No. I need to come to Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Hawaii. Maybe we should pinhole. Well, you couldn't go. Andrew couldn't go because his white corpsey legs wouldn't let him go on the sun of the day.
No, my legs never change color. They stay white because they're so manly and hairy. We've had this discussion before. You know I have manly, hairy legs.
But I have another Holga that I'm going to be modifying and playing with a pinhole. You know, I don't make my pinholes from complete scratch, but I kind of use donor cameras. Right.
Are you using a lensed Holga camera and butchering that into a pinhole?
Yeah, because I was noticing that when I had the original Holga pinholes, the 120s, that's what they put in there. It's not exactly a pinhole. It's kind of a cross between a zone camera and a pinhole. Because if you shine light on that, those little spirals are actually light
that's
comes
the
through.
Zone. That's what a zone is.
Ooh.
Yep.
Right. I've not done that. I'll talk about mine in a minute, but that's something new I didn't know about. So carry on, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I ripped the pinhole out of that and I tried to put my own in and I wasn't happy with the results. So then I kept getting encouragement from Ross to make my own pinhole. So from there, I got myself one of those, I think their brand name is Dremel. Mm. You know, what is another multi-tool?
Hand tool. Yeah. Dremel is probably the
most popular one.
The original one, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just kind of hacked at it. And then there were these things they sold maybe about 7 years ago, I think. I bought a bunch of them. They're these little rings, and they kind of have eyeglass screws, and you kind of tighten it on the surface of the Holga, the outside lens barrel, mm-hmm. and then from there you can screw on a 52 filter or whatever.
All right. That's cool.
So I put one of those on, and then I use just like a 52 millimeter lens cap.
Right.
Kind of go for it.
Cool.
So I've been holding off buying a Holger WPC wide camera for a while.
Is that the story that you're going with?
Yep. And I saw the prices of those things. They were just wanting stupid money for them, you know?
Yeah.
They still do.
Well, I've seen... So I finally saw a guy selling some. And to be honest, I can't see... It's pretty new, I think. I don't know whether it's quite new stock or new old, but it's obviously not new stock, but it's... I don't think it's... The one I bought, I don't think was... had really been used by anybody, put it that way, because it came in a box and it's all nicely sealed up and with everything there, even the strap, I don't know why you'd want a strap, was still in its, you know, was taped around it and all rolled up neatly and stuff. So it was, in all intents and purposes, brand new. And I paid £60 delivered from Hong Kong. So I think when I look back at the original retail price on the Lomography site, they were about £40. So I was okay with that, really.
Yeah.
And so I've had it for a few weeks now, and I finally got around. You know, I've been asking people out there, forgive me if I say this, do you shave your hole or not? But you know what a...
I did.
I'm very pleased to hear it. Simon Forster, who used to work in the beauty industry, he seemed to know about anal bleaching, but we won't go into that.
I'm out of my realm with that one.
Out of your comfort zone. So I was speaking to all sorts of people online about whether I should chamfer, that's probably the better word, the plastic around the pinhole. And I think the consensus is I should probably do that because it's such a crap design. I'm probably going to get those hard, I won't even call it vignettes, those sort of hard edges at the mm-hmm. ends. So I'm probably going to shave that soon. I've put a roll of film through it on Friday. I've not developed it yet. I'm going to see how bad it is. I'm going to widen that off. And Mark, you can tell me what you did. And then I was talking to Alex Purcell yesterday, and he says, "Boyo," he said, because he's Welsh, you know. He said, "Boyo, you need to take a sharp knife and just trim this bit here." And so you can trim that lip away. And he said to get a step-up ring and glue that on the front, and then I've got, you know, I can use it for infrared and stuff. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to attack it with a knife and a hacksaw and various things. What did you do, Mark?
Actually, I used the Dremel.
Yeah. I didn't want to buy one of those, because you can just get an attachment and Dremel. I'm going to hack at it with a knife.
That's a good idea.
Okay. But, I just took the, a sanding. I just went at it a little bit with the Dremel, but mostly I just took a little piece of sandpaper.
Okay.
And you take the diameter, I guess, instead of making it circular, I made it more eye-shaped.
Right.
You know, so I took a little bit off the side.
Yes.
And that clears it right okay. up.
But not much. Millimeter, 2 millimeters? Do you deal in millimeters?
No, I'm familiar with millimeters. I would take about a minimum a millimeter,
yeah,
but
okay.
You know, I don't only think there's 2 millimeters of plastic.
It's not very much. It's not tall.
No,
not at all.
Okay.
Yeah,
I shall do that.
Yeah,
but it's interesting your comments about shine. I'm going to try that now. Shine a light and see if it. So you're saying the light comes around the area,
if you look in,
it's not just coming through the pinhole.
Concentric circles. Right. You know, it's through the pinhole and the concentric circles.
Okay. Mm. Wow.
So I noticed it was more of a zone, and that's, you know, if you wanted more accuracy, then that's why I took it out.
Mm. That's interesting. I was looking at somebody, Diane Peterson, not somebody. Diane had sent me some Lens Baby stuff for my Nikon camera, and I've got one of those with a pinhole and zone plate attachment. So I got that out the other day, and I've not shot with it yet, but I was... Some folks online, I think Diane gave me some guidance on what f-number to use, so I'm going to play with some zone plates, but on my Nikon, and see how that goes. But I think with true zone plates, the subject needs to be fairly, I think, to get a good result, quite a contrasty, well-defined subject. Otherwise, it goes into blurry nothingness, I think.
Yeah.
Now, Do you think you're going to keep the current pinhole in the WPC?
I don't know. Well, I'm hesitant to do too much until I put that first roll of film through.
Mm-hmm. See what you get.
See what I get. So I used Delta 100 on Friday, and I went out for the day with my good lady, and we went to a National Trust property. National Trust is a UK organization that has old houses, you know, like this house we were going around was from the 1700s or something, and took some pictures there with it, and it was the sun came out, which was good. So I'm going to go develop that. I might even go and develop it when we stop talking, and or when I stop talking. Yeah. And see what I get. And then I think once I see how sharp it is, I'll make some contact prints, see what it's like. I might share them online in the group before I do anything too drastic. And I'm going to bear in mind what you've just said about the pinhole maybe being transparent or the bits around it.
Yeah.
But, Andrew, the WPCs, I honestly think that a warehouse, they discovered some, because I've noticed that markets are starting to flood. I mean, there's still characters out there trying to sell them for $200 a piece, but I've seen them as low as, like you said, £60 or $60.
Yes, they're from Hong Kong. They seem to have found there's at least one on there now, and that it's either listed like new or new. This one I had definitely had not been used by anybody. I'm certain of it. You know? I think someone's found a stash of them. The mother load. They've hit the mother load of
like Olga Fuji White. And their Acros, like. We didn't check in the very far back, but we found a little bit back there. So,
right, we had a mislabeled crate. Here we go.
We're not gonna get that checker guy. We fired that guy. We have somebody else looking now. Yeah, he found him, so we're good. Crazy. So, what are you? Do you have any one particular subject that you like more than anything? Being out in Hawaii, Mark, or are you kind of just? Because your daughter's in school now, so you have some free time, right?
Yeah, I did it, but I didn't have any way to really get around except for the city transportation. Oh, right. So I haven't been exploring too much. Sure. But we recently got a second vehicle, so I'll be experimenting and getting out there.
You
real
need
soon.
To get yourself a pair of flippers and start going out to Sandy Beach and get barreled, man. Come on.
Oh yeah, no. That's okay. I don't love my spine. I'll just go out there.
There's lots of good places you can go and get barreled body surfing there, out there. So, I don't know.
So get what? What are you talking about?
Getting a pair of flippers and body surfing.
Okay. Don't you need like a surfboard, or you can just do it?
No, if the waves are strong enough, you just use your body. Or I'm sure Corey's tried at the McDonald's.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we used to do when I was. When I lived in Waianae, when I was really, really young, we would go and get lunch at McDonald's, and then everybody would walk out with with a McDonald's tray.
Really?
And then some people would take them home and drill holes and take a piece of like webbing strap and like make a strap across it so you could put your hand in it so you wouldn't lose it. You know?
Well,
yeah.
Yep.
I think you should concentrate, Mark, on quirky images like this one. Almost a fork in the road. You know? Do you know the one I'm talking about? I don't know where it was taken, but it was a cafe or something with a plastic, with a big fork.
A big fork.
A big fork, yeah. And
I don't see that picture.
Do you not?
Is it on the Flickr photo stream?
Yeah. Zero image 2000 red filter Fuji Acros 9.
Oh, second. That was in
North Carolina?
The Charlotte area, yeah.
Okay. There you go, Corey. There's a subject matter for you. Quirky.
Giant forts.
Quirky places, yeah. Next to a pig.
Next to a pig. Ironically, those forks and swine go together great, huh? Yeah. Awesome. Well,
I have a book. If you want me to talk about a book for a few minutes?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you want me to talk about a book?
Oh, I see the fort you're talking about. I have a picture of that same pig. I have a few pictures of that pig.
There you go.
Yeah.
Different pinhole cameras, different film.
I didn't know that you could read, Andrew. Talk about your book.
talk about the pictures in your book. This book, right?
Just surrounded with the milk.
I discovered that I have a limited edition. I didn't realize I had a limited edition book that now you can't actually buy, I don't think, for less than £150, shall we say.
Wow.
So there's
now you can fund another.
Now you can retire.
And it's in mint condition. So there's this guy, this gentleman whose work I was familiar with, because my first pinhole camera was a Zero Image 2000, and Steve Gosling produced a book. He did a self-published print run of 1,000 copies, and I have 184, number 184, not 184 copies, and it's called Lensless Landscapes, and he uses pretty much exclusively Pan F, and it reminded me that was I took inspiration from that, and that's when I started using Pan F in my pinhole camera. And there's a lot of chatter that, oh, you can't use Pan F because it's just too difficult to work with. But if you go to Steve Gosling's website, you can find some images, and he shoots exclusively pretty much seaside shots on the south coast of the UK and up on the east coast of Yorkshire, and they're just fabulous. If you can get hold of a copy of Lensless Landscapes, they all have a kind of it's got a kind of sepia vibe going on. I think they're all prints, so maybe he's toning. He's certainly using, so is maybe some of them are infrared, I'm not sure, but mainly it's Pan F. So I'd thoroughly recommend.
I like Pan F. I've used it.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't. He says my film of choice are Ilford's Pan F rated at 50 and occasionally Ilford Delta 400. It's interesting. He says once the film has been processed, selected negatives are scanned, he was using a Nikon something or other, and the digital files enhanced using Adobe Photoshop. So I guess he's putting that kind of sepia tone on in Photoshop. But go to Steve's website, Steve Gosling. I have reached out to him to come on the show. I did get a response, and he seemed quite keen, but he's gone a bit quiet. So
we'll see.
But if you can get yourself a an arm or a leg or a kidney, and get yourself a copy of Lensless Landscapes by Steve Gosling.
I wish they would make that Pan F in 4x5.
Oh, yeah, they don't, do they?
4x5 is kind of slim on your choices for what you have to choose from. So
I stick with FOMA 100 largely and FP4.
Right.
Are you a photo book man, Mark? Do you like photo books?
No, I'm not really. I mean, I have a couple pinholes books that I got from Ross, but no, I don't really collect them.
So you're getting your, if you're looking, see, I use books for source of inspiration just to remind me how bad a photographer I am, which is a bit of self-flagellation.
Which is pretty bad, I guess.
Yeah, you got it. So Mark, are you getting your, if you're feeling low on inspiration, is it mainly sort of Flickr?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not a bad place to go.
It is. Mm-mm. No,
I think I am going to get into Flickr. I think I've literally just made a conscious effort to become a Flickr person. Just now, Andrew, I've had the realization that I should.
But you realize once you start looking at some of these awesome, some of Mark's awesome panoramic shots,
sure.
And you can open them up, and then you can go on to the art. Yeah. You can see where they were shot. If someone's done it properly, they can put a link to where it was photographed, put a map on there, you know?
I have a random question. What is everyone doing to scan your little Instax pictures? Are you just putting them on your flatbed and just scanning them like regular? Or
yep. Really? Mm-hmm. That's all I've ever done.
Do you have to turn the resolution up high? Because I'm not having too much luck with it.
You've got kids, Corey. Maybe you've got some dark colored construction paper. Lay that down, or use that as the backing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it helps with the color balance. If there's too much white, I notice that it's harder to scan the Instax. So I just put the Instax down, lay a piece of black construction paper.
You don't put the white,
Another dark color.
Because I have an Epson 550, so Have you been putting that white insert in, or are you not even putting the insert in?
No, no, I put the white insert, but then I put the construction paper between that, so that it's not. It helps because, you know, like it takes the overall whiteness and kind of lightens the pictures or kills the
resolution. I wonder if it helps with, you know, the light bouncing around and softening the image, putting that black on there. Maybe that helps. Don't know.
I don't know the one, but the ones I scanned, they were horrible. I was like, oh, I don't know what.
Is that color or black and white, Corey?
Color. It's the color.
Yeah. I don't use much Instax. I've got dozens and dozens and dozens of Impossible and Polaroid scans, and all I ever did with those, I have a Epson V500, so it's much the same. I just laid those, you know, square against one edge and scanned it, selected it using the Epson software. I go into that curve, open up the exposure bit, the curves, and just drag the things to either end, the sliders either end to shadows and highlights, so I'm getting all the information. Then I scan it and I have an idiot's Photoshop Elements 14 or something, I don't know,
right?
And I just bring that up and I just tweak those sliders a bit more to bring it to what I want, which is large. So no, I've not had any interest. I was watching somebody who was on YouTube scanning film, and that the tip I picked up there was, if you're using the scanning mask to scan your film and the film doesn't go all the way, or even if it does, he was using black paper to effectively mask down any blank areas, you know, if the film doesn't go all the way to the end. And he said that helps as well, in much the same way, I think, as Mark is saying there, to help reducing light scatter. And you were getting a slightly a slightly better scan. But I hate scanning. I just like to make prints.
Yeah, me too. Oh. But I'm going to have to figure out, if I want anyone else to ever see them, you know, I'm going to have to.
Yeah, that's the trouble.
Come up with something. But so, anyways. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, congratulations to us for making it a whole year, and we're glad that you're back in Hawaii, Mark, and you're enjoying pinhole photography still, and that everything's still going good for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, it's been really nice to talk to you.
Yeah. And what's going on next week, Andrew?
Next week we're being invaded by some other pinhole Facebook group people. So we have a Facebook group, the Lensless Podcast Facebook group, and there's another one run by Ian Burton in the UK and Andrew Atkinson, and that's the Pinhole Workshops Facebook group. So these guys run pinhole workshops, which look really fun and entertaining. They give you pinhole cameras to use, give you tips, take you to some great seaside places, and they have a Facebook group similar sort of size to ours. And Ian Burton is coming on next week.
Yeah.
To I'm talk excited. To us about, yeah, it's going to be good. I met him yesterday. I met him in the in Birmingham at the NEC,
right,
at the photography show. So I met Ian and Andrew. And I said, oh, we'll get you on separately, Andrew. And he seemed a bit reluctant. He said he'd,
Well, bring him and Andrew on then.
Well, I'll ask them. At the moment, it's just Ian. Ian's comfortable with coming on. I'll see if they both want to come on. I didn't know if you want two guests on. We'll see how it goes. You think so? You're getting really cavalier. And now we're past one. You've just got a devil-may-care attitude, haven't you?
Well, let's try it. See if it works.
Mark, where can we send folks to find your work?
Well, across Flickr, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm various forms of three-eyed monster, with a three either spelled out or as a numerical.
And I have to ask you, where did that handle come from?
That came from what I thought my daughter saw as I looked up above my pinhole camera. So she kind of saw three eyes.
That's brilliant. I love it. Funny. I'm glad I asked you that.
That's a good one. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
So, you know, because I kind of just... For myself, you know, you get used to taking with the viewfinder and your various cameras. So I just kind of tend to look right above my pinhole. So
awesome. And I want to also say about the meetup that's going to be going on in Boston in April. I've been on the Facebook group, but there's kind of a lag in between commenting and getting, and, you know, actually, you know, getting information back from people and whatnot. So, yeah, if you're going to be going, I'm going to be going and flying in. So I'd like to try and coordinate some things together. So if anybody wants to start maybe a Facebook Messenger group or something that's a little bit quicker than the traditional Facebook way, let me know, because it's getting close and I'm going to be getting a plane ticket, and I'd like to find out where everyone is going to be staying and try and get close to them, you know.
I think what you might find that Alex is communicating a lot more with folks on the quiet, Corey. If you reach out to Alex Yates, he might, with that same question, he might be able to give you a bit more information.
Cool.
Okay. I'm really jealous. I know I pretend that Boston in the UK is just as good, but it really isn't.
We're going
to
get some.
But I'll have my buddy Neil Piper there to keep me company, so that'll be good.
Everybody will be parking the cars.
Huh?
In Boston, that's how everybody.
They do. Yes, yeah. Yes, that's right. Yes. So we were staying near Sandwich, you know, just outside up in New England, and the lady who ran the site, she says, "Do you like my new car? I got a new car. Come and see my new car." Yeah, brilliant.
It'd be fun. So.
Don't take the Mickey out of their accents; they might thump you.
Yeah, I know, right? They surely will. So, all right. Well, everybody, have a great week. Thanks for hanging out with us for a year. Mark, thanks for waking up early and coming and hanging out with us.
No problem.
It was great talking to you, and we will speak with everybody next week.
We'll see you in the new year.
All right. Thanks.
Aloha.
Aloha.
'Poy and Lay's?
Yeah. Definitely.
Cool.
No, it's nice.
Yeah, I bet. I'm sure it's far better than War Boys.
No.
You've been busy with infrared and
gnomes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You posted that gnome picture about 5 minutes ago.